Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm joined here by Quizmaster Mark and
clear my throat.
God damn it. Can we just start over?
No.
You're talking all over this shit.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to make an introduction. All right. You like waited until we started and then you're no. Let me clear my throat.
Hold on. Yeah. No. I was going to clear my throat and then you started talking. I literally, and you were like, welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. And I was like, what do I do? I was just sitting
all right.
Holding my breath.
I've changed my mind. We're okay. Keeping this intro.
Okay,
we're here with Elise.
Okay.
We're here with Elise. Mark, welcome back from your tour.
Thank you.
Let's first give a shout out to Seth for taking some time out to join us on last week's podcast.
And what a great
preemptive
episode it was.
Episode. Yeah, I loved it. It was a favorite. I usually don't listen again after I finish the edit. And this one, though, I was like, I want to hear this episode again.
Even Seth messaged me. He was like, great episode.
Yeah. So check out 65 and Elise, the pressure's on for 66 here.
Sorry, everyone.
And now everyone's listening. Preemptive sorry.
Mark, how was tour with the Free Coasters?
It was a lot of fun. It's been a long time. It's been about 10 years since I've been touring with a band or anything. And aside from being like, you know, cooped up into a van for 12 hours at a time or whatever, you know, in some occasions, it was a lot of fun. Everyone in the band was really, really nice. I was playing guitar. I usually am not a guitarist, but I did all right. And it was a good time. We played in Washington, D.C. That show was really good. We played in Worcester, Mass. We played in Providence, Rhode Island, where I got to see Tim and Joey. And we played in Baltimore.
Next time we'll have to get those dates on the podcast before you leave, so some of our listeners can come out and see you. So we'll be sure to do that. How long was the tour? That was 5 days.
It was 4 days, but then also 2 days driving. So I was gone for six. One day, just driving up. One day, just driving back.
Yeah. Shout out to one of our quiz daddies on tour right now, Tommy with the Electric Mud.
He'll be coming home soon.
Yeah. Long tour though, wrapping up 30 days.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Around a month.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of ours, Alex Zorowski, who's a local guitarist, and he was telling me about his experience. The last tour that he did was over 7 months long on tour. Can you imagine?
It's it's a lot of fun being out there, and it's a lot of fun living off your craft. It's a very satisfying experience, like making money off of something that you love doing, and kind of having that freedom where it's like all you really have to do is get to the next gig, and then you've got, you know, your hour of playing or whatever, but other than that you can kind of do whatever you want. But at the same time, it's very, very quick that you start missing, you know, friends, loved ones, your own bed.
The routine of your personal life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just like, you know, the things around you that you take for granted, you know, all of your stuff.
Right.
Because you're basically living out of a suitcase or whatever and having to do laundry every week or so. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a very, very good time. I look forward to being able to tour with them again at some point here in the future. So.
Yeah. Shout out to John Clare, the Free Coasters. We love them.
Yeah.
The website, thefreecoasters.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a Facebook and all that stuff. If you like reggae and soul and stuff like that, I was a big fan of them.
Or even if you don't, I'll say check them out because they might change your opinion on it. True. They're really good. They are really good.
When you're thinking ska, do not think Less Than Jake and stuff like that. I mean, not that I have any huge issue with any of those, but there were a lot of preconceived notions.
It's not
notions.
Ska punk.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Yeah, it's straight up ska, reggae.
Yeah,
traditional classic.
Way closer to think of it kind of like amped up Bob Marley, but with a really badass female singer.
Yeah.
So. She has such a good voice.
Yep. She really does.
It's so good.
A lot of power. She's really, really good. And their new album's coming out soon, on which I played some bongos. So,
hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Hear Mark play bongos on the new Free Coasters record. All right. Elise, you had a very exciting week as well this past week.
Yeah.
Because Mark was gone and you filled in at Trivia at Nice Guys.
I did. It was very nerve-wracking. I was so nervous.
Oh.
And
now you get to live my hell.
And Patrick Norris was visiting from
wherever he is.
Philadelphia.
And
he came and sat with me the whole time and didn't even play trivia, but was just there to help me calm down. So that was really nice of him.
He was your emotional support man.
He was, exactly.
Yeah.
Like he started playing trivia, but then he wasn't
put down a bowl of kibble for him. let him nosh while you...
But it was nice. I hadn't seen him in very many years, and he happened to be down here.
It was good to have him check in. He actually left us a really nice review on Apple Podcasts. Oh, well. So nice. Maybe we'll read that later. But So nerve-wracking start. Patrick came in and... giving you he was the cheerleader.
He just hung out and you know, helped me out. But
what was like the response to like the questions that you were asking? How do you feel?
So I, you know, since I moved back down, I've done a lot of trivia. It's mostly either yours or Mark's, or I go to Dallas's trivia too. So I kind of pulled a little bit from each of you guys as far as like my style of question writing.
Oh, interesting.
And so my first round.
That'll just be 10% per question divided by the total.
Residuals by the.
My first round, like I took the idea from Dallas, who his first round always ends up having a theme. But like you have to guess the theme at the end. And that actually was kind of challenging because. When you have the theme in mind and you're writing the questions, it's obvious. It's more obvious to you what the theme is because you're kind of writing the questions revolving around that theme.
Yeah, it's so, the core principle of the of the segment.
So I tested the questions out on a few people that I knew weren't going to be there, and about half of them guessed the theme correctly. Yeah. Well, I told them the answers.
So you get points for guessing the theme?
I gave three extra points. Ooh, so he only gives one, cool. But I was like, I'm going to give you guys three because if you get it. One team did get it. It was Jamie's team.
Of course.
But so I'll tell
fucking
you guys.
Brain trust.
I'll tell you guys the answers to the questions and you can probably guess what the thing is. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
So it was six questions. So it was Chicago, extra digit / extra toe finger polydactyl. Okay. I accept any of those. Wallace Shawn, Capybara.
The Princess Bride.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't done yet.
Once Mandy you said Patinkin, Wallace Shawn and extra digit.
Mandy Patinkin and Buttercup were the last Mandy two answers. But so and a lot of times if you figure out the theme, then like you can go back and answer maybe the questions that you didn't know. You'll be like, okay, so the theme is this.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so that has worked a couple times for me.
I love that. That's clever. Yeah. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Keep the 10%. I'm taking that.
Yeah. But I think I overestimated people who would know Wallace Shawn's actual name. Like you see him and you know
who
he is.
Conceivably
he was Vizzini.
The voice of Rex in Toy Story.
Yeah.
He was the lead
that was
in
my question,
My Dinner with Andre. Not the titular Andre, but the person eating dinner with Andre.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that worked out really well. And yeah, Jamie's team got it. They ended up winning by 1 point.
Ooh.
So and I felt bad because the other team
if you would have given that other team just 1 point, would that have made a difference in the final for guessing the theme?
So yeah, if I had given Jamie's team just 1 point for the theme, then the other team would have won.
Oh.
Yeah. So
what a little detail. I love it.
There was a question where that other team, they were called Duval.
As in Duval.
Yeah, that's they kept yelling
Jaguars,
that. Yeah.
Yes.
And they kind of got one of the questions right technically, but not really. Like I really wanted to give them a point for it, but I didn't. And then at the end, they ended up losing by 1 point, and I felt really bad.
She actually motioned like she was trying to keep herself from crying.
I felt I was very sad. Like
Well, someone's gonna lose,
bad.
Baby.
Let me ask you,
that's
Mark.
The name of the trivia.
When you have a close call at the end, do you ever go back and double check the scores? Really? I do.
Yeah.
I throw a flag in the air. I pull out all of the answer sheets between the teams that are close, and I really study because sometimes if I'm in the mood, you know, and I'm feeling generous on a partial answer, you know, I'll give them, you know, if it's 5 points, I'll give them three, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll give them two. If it's like an odd number, I just go off the fly. So if there's like a margin of like 3 points, I will usually at least the last round look at the answer sheets, if not every single one, just because, I don't know. It just seems like fate could be so fickle.
Yeah.
In a sense. Mm-hmm.
And I was so debating when I was scoring the things. I was like, I should maybe give them a point for this because it's kind of right. It was a dog question. I know a lot about dogs, and technically what they answered was correct for part of the question, but not the whole question. Right. Anyway. Yeah, and I just was like, no, because it's not right for the whole context of the question. Well, and then at the end, they lost by a point. And I was like,
well, I mean, but, you know, it's what we talked about here before, which is that, you know, when you give questions that are multifaceted like that, you're giving them all the information they need to give you the right answer.
Yeah.
They were probably just going by what they knew, but what they knew was right for the part they understood or part they knew, but not for the rest of it. You did right.
Yeah.
And
they got the wager question right, but didn't wager anything. And if they had wagered, they were the only ones that got the wager question right. So
I love trivia nights like that.
Yeah. Oh, so do I.
Juicy.
I ended up with, I think at the end, it started with like 10 teams. I think by the end I had like 7 or 8 because, you know, some people just leave. You know, they were just doing it while they were there. Jamie's team, so it was just Jamie and 2 other people. I think are usually on his team, but
probably Jill. Maybe Fletcher.
No, Fletcher and Chris weren't there. Honors. I saw them at work Jill earlier in the day, and they said they
Jill
weren't going.
Is his
so I
fill
knew.
In.
Some coattail riders.
Whenever Fletcher and Kristen won't go in, he always calls up Jill, and she always comes out. And my guess is Jill and Aaron.
And it's funny because I remember them talking about naming their teams, and like Fletcher only likes one little change in the so like their team name because
they
he
do the
wasn't
movie
there.
Parodies. They
yeah,
do the movie parodies.
Their team name because he wasn't there was A Cock and Lips Now. Instead of Apocalypse Now.
Which is great.
I was going to say it's not a Fletcher name.
Yeah,
you know,
wouldn't
it wouldn't pass his
Fletcher
thing.
Too many changes.
Okay yeah.
A Cock and Lips Now.
Yeah.
I can just picture Fletcher shaking his head. But, not enough changes.
But so that went well. And then later in the week, I kind of got the surprise call from Mark to say that Juan, his trivia, he needed someone. And so Mark suggested me. So
our prior guest, Juan.
Yeah. So yeah. I went and I did trivia at Hurricanes, which it's a totally different.
So now you're on your second one ever in the same week as your first. You're really jumping in.
A totally different experience.
I think it would be fair to say that you're a relatively anxious person.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Mark.
I'm like.
Hey, I'm just. I'm not saying. Here's the thing. You're taking it as a negative.
No,
I'm not saying
it
as a negative. It's like someone posted a thing that says something like, you know, akin to like when you say you're fat and they're like, you're beautiful. And it's like, I didn't say I'm ugly. I said I'm fat. Mm-hmm. Like those two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. And I'm pretty open about being anxious.
So,
and,
I'm not saying that her being anxious is a bad thing. I'm saying she's anxious. Yeah. She's an absolutely wonderful human being. But there are some people that are me that you can throw in a situation and I don't give a fuck because I just don't care about life and I want to die every day.
Yeah.
And then you have some people that are constantly worried that something is going to make something bad happen.
Yeah.
So for her to, I'm on tour. I get a text message from Juan. Where are you? I'm on tour. Oh, fuck. Why? What's up? My guy at Hurricane just backed out on me. I said, I think I know just the person. I said, there's this woman, Elise. She knows Dallas. She's been to trivia there before. She just ran trivia for me. She's been talking about wanting to run trivia. She's a trivia nut. She loves it. Here's her. So I messaged her. Would you be down with this? She said, yeah. Gave him her number. Boom. Made the hookup. On the road, I made that hookup happen.
I know.
Congratulations, Mark.
Very, very
in a van.
But so he does this whole thing with, you know, the TV screens and stuff. And so I had to get there like 2 hours early so that he could walk me through it. And then everybody there was like, they're going to hate you. Like, I'm like, oh, good. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear.
You know, they're just like, they're like, oh, he's not here. They hate when he's not here. So
well,
like,
we talked with him about the day at Hurricane where he got swamped by all of the people asking about the questions. Like they are. They come there with their own slips.
They have their own slips. They have their own numbered teams. Like they're very, very intense.
They are. It is a world that is.
It's
fucking
very different than.
Yeah,
than
it is a very, very crazy world.
Things.
It's 4 rounds. Five questions each round with two wagers, one 10-point wagered, one 20-point
wagered. We almost won. I mean, before you left for tour, the three of us won out and played together.
So you've been
I'm also
there,
telling the people.
I'm telling them we almost won this shit right before Mark left for tour. We came in second place. I think it was my fault. I talked us out of a wager on a right answer.
I was going to bring that up, but and Elisa and I did win it a week or two before that.
Because we had used that. So all that being said, though, they were actually very, very sweet to me. They were all, you know, they're all... on the, they're older people, and they were just all
baby
very
boomers,
nice.
You could
and,
say,
yeah, they're probably
they're
my parents' age.
Baby boomers.
They, there were certain things that I forgot, but they were really nice about it. Someone disagreed with, so I basically took the questions from nice guys, and I kind of, I don't want to say softened them, but I changed them around a little bit and made it a
you
little
can
bit
say
more
softened.
I softened them, and then I just added a few more.
Old people need softer things.
And I made a little bit less like, you know, current like pop culture stuff.
Gotcha.
So for the for the screens, you were inputting that? You were using like some software or something?
It was a virtual DJ, I think is what it was called.
And oh, cool.
Once I figured it out, like it was pretty easy. And I was pretty fast at scoring and stuff like that.
It is pretty nerve-wracking because you have to type stuff in and then you have to hit a button. So you have to make sure everything is right.
Yeah. Well, and then it didn't have like a wraparound thing. So I would write the question and then it would go off of the screen and
you
it took
to
me
guess
like
how long
around. Yeah. So I had
I hope
to like
virtual
press
DJ
enter.
Is listening.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
So
it's a whole thing,
but it ended up being, pretty good. They said that, I was, and they might've just been saying that, but they said I was the best substitute trivia person that they had.
Wow. Because, you know, and I was one of them. So that means she's better than me.
Oh, well, but they were really
the truth hurts, Mark.
No. They were nice. I mean,
maybe
know.
I don't know.
Can we
although
move on?
They had a team that was like, I mean, there's no limit. Oh, there was a young team that was there that they had never been there before. So they were the only team that had not been there before. So I was explaining it to them. They got in this crazy rivalry with this older team where they were like going back and forth and saying shit to each other.
Like what?
Like they kept walking by each other and just like say like. The one guy was like, those geezers over there, they all have their phones out. And like, but he, and you need to tell them to put their phones away. And I was like,
and
well, you
could
know.
These aforementioned geezers hear them say
yeah.
this?
Yeah. And then he went over to their table and told them to put their phones away.
Wow.
And I was like,
are you sure this wasn't Lee?
Right?
I'm really just three teenagers in a trench coat.
But it was like tense, and then they came up and they're like, he's harassing, like it was a whole thing, and I was like, okay guys, everything's fine. So that was funny.
That reminds me of my Gather crowd. They're always looking around the room, seeing who's on their phones without, and I love it yeah. without a moment's notice. They'll be like, they'll shout out, they'll be like, hey, get off your phone.
But they weren't like winning so or anything good. So it was fine. The
phones.
Team that won was like a team of three. There was a team of 30. Like there Jesus was no Christ. There's no limit, but
insane in the membrane.
What is the generation before baby boomers? What are they called?
Before?
Older than?
Yes.
Aren't they like
gone.
Depression? Yeah, they're all dead. No. they lived through the depression and stuff. Because baby boomers are like my parents' age, so like 1950s.
The greatest generation.
The greatest generation?
Because I think like people... Mm-hmm.
The greatest generation. I think
there are people on teams at Hurricane that are older than baby boomers.
I don't know. I think I feel like
60s.
They were
these
all...
people are like in their 80s.
Yeah.
Most of them, I would say, were in their 70s, which I think
still
is in the
boomer
yes.
generation.
Time marches on.
Yeah.
My parents are 68.
For whom the belt holds.
So, yeah, like probably up to 75.
Oh, well, whatever.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Elise, thanks for coming on the show and recounting your tales, and congratulations on wrapping up your first week of quiz.
Thank you. Oh, and yeah, and then Juan offered to like maybe add me on one day. Like,
yeah.
Week,
so, are you doing that?
I have to see with my new job what my because I'm going to get one day off per week with my new job, and I'll probably do it that day as long as he has something open for me. So I have to see what that is,
cool.
and then I'll figure it out.
You'll have to keep us in the loop on that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into our weekly wrap up proper. Get to some scores here. Let's see here. Okay, so on Monday at the Palace, this would be on Monday, September 23rd, the first round went to As You Wish,
Yay.
A team of Elise and Dallas. The Road to Hell is paved with Moist Intentions, took the second round, with Trivia Newton John taking the overall victory, as well as the third round, with some crucial Godzilla knowledge, earning 96 points. On Tuesday, September 24th at Gather, Tarpon Charlie's won the first round on an ultra-rare three-way lightning tiebreaker question, while it's Moist O'Clock Somewhere took the second round, but in the end it was Couch Potatoes who won the evening. 64 points is all it took for the Spuds. Team Moist so upset that night when they did not win. I went over and Max was looking like Hitler in that movie Downfall. He was like pounding the table like, we will come back next week and crush them! Yeah, it was crazy. Wednesday,
replete with Hitler-esque.
I mean, they are the team to beat. They seem like they win anytime I'm anywhere. They're always winning.
It was the first time in a long time I've seen them come in last place.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it lit a fire. They were at three of my four events this week.
Oh.
They came on Wednesday to the Bury Me Brewing final quiz on Wednesday, September 25th. There was a record 16 teams in attendance, including some of our regulars. House Snow, Four Horsemen, Team Moist was there, Pootie Tang, the Lone Rangers, Yikes, the Periodic Table Dancers, Whiskey Business, Team Hackerspace, and Mick Fleetwood's Dangly Balls, even in attendance.
They are dangling.
All to close out the venue. The first round went to If You're Not Moist, You're Last. The second round went to the Lone Rangers, and the third round went to the Team Peanut Butter Falcon. Team Moist winning the night with 114 points.
God damn
it. Actually, it was such a great night, though. I first of all, it was a packed house as soon as I got there, and the line for beer didn't die down until halfway through the second round. People were standing in line waiting to get drinks, and then going back and adding to the line. So that's how many people there were, and they had a few bartenders working as well. Also, I got to ask a no-no related question because that was a hotly requested category the week before. They were the several teams wrote down No Nonsense Trivia Podcast as a trivia category. So I asked, what are the two words that follow this music on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast? And a few teams got it right as well.
Wow.
So it was great. Okay. Yeah. And I also got to plug my other quiz nights because it was the last quiz that we were having there. So I said, join us, won't you, at the end. And I had a Greek chorus
beautiful
in the crowd. Do the won't you with me. It was fantastic. Just to go over some stats for the venue itself. I have a list of the most wins by any team at the venue. There's actually a tie. Team Moist and Southwest Florida Hackerspace, both with 5 wins at that venue apiece. Pootie Tang getting 4. The Hideaways getting 3 as well. Seth won 3 nights by himself out at the venue. House Snow getting 2. Four Horsemen getting 2 as well. And Creatures from the Moist Lagoon, our highest score ever at the location, as well as overall ever for a no-nonsense trivia challenge.
Horror movie night.
134 points on the horror movie night. That was quiz number 70. In October of 2018. So rest in peace, Bury Me Brewing Company. You've been a fine venue for No Nonsense Trivia.
Indeed.
And hopefully we'll see a phoenix rise from the ashes, you know. All right, and then on Thursday, September 26th, As You Wish won the night with 113 points. Not 114.
Not 114.
Elise keeps trying to make 114 points happen. It was 113 points, though they lost the second and third rounds to Matt Is Always Late and the Squeaky Chairs. On a series of tiebreakers, it was just downright painful to watch.
Oh my! And I knew the answers.
Yeah, everybody did.
Was, yeah.
Everybody except the two people that were involved in the tiebreaker knew the answers to every question that I asked.
Yeah.
But we finally settled it on a Pee Wee Herman bow tie question.
Yeah.
And it was great. Great night though. Congratulations again on your victory,
Mark.
How did your teams do at Nice Guys Trivia this week?
They did well. The winning team was Stephen King's Clit. Chapped her too.
So Fletcher wasn't there again, huh?
He was.
Oh, okay.
I was very, very surprised that beat it through. I thought they would just do Stephen King's Clit.
Took it to the limit.
Yeah, they did.
I love it.
With 74 points. They had a tiebreaker in the first round, and Seth got the tiebreaker question wrong, which surprised me. Now, the tiebreakers are always relatively easy. He was his first to raise his hand, but the question was, what is the name of the fin on a whale's back? What would you say?
Isn't it a dorsal fin?
Yeah,
it is very much a dorsal fin.
Yeah.
He said some weird shit I've never heard of before. And
interior.
And
interior
then,
fin.
And the other team, he got it wrong, and she said dorsal? I was like, yeah, that's it.
I would second guess myself if Seth got it wrong. I'd be like, it must be something way crazier than that.
Yeah.
That's how I'm much sure we trust him.
In some weird technicality, he's probably right in some weird form or fashion.
Yeah.
But not in pub trivia night.
No. Not in my school. Yeah. But yeah, so they ended up taking away with 74 points. And I will say, last night was a regrouping again of the team that won the four-year anniversary trivia almost a year ago today.
Back in training.
October 16th, they will be coming back, a team of five. Fletcher, Kristen, Jamie, Aaron, and Seth are coming to reclaim their title and win another year of pizza.
Yep.
So if anybody locally wants to put together a team of five, get there early. It'll be October 16th from 9 till 10:30 or 11. It is going to be a very, very big event. Top three winners overall are going to win free pizza for a year. Second place, a $300 gift card.
Wow!
Jeez.
And third place, a $150 gift card.
Woo!
Plus gift cards given at the end of each round for the round winner for places, I'm sure, like number three and Palace. So a lot of cool stuff to give away, a lot of free stuff. Huge thanks to Greg and Yovanova for being so giving.
Yeah.
For doing that. We were talking about doing, even last year, we were talking about doing something like a giveaway for like a cruise or like a weekend stay at Fort Myers Beach. You know, cash, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, free pizza for a year ends up being around a $1,200 value.
That's amazing. Minimum.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry, $1,020, I think. But in any event, it is very, very awesome. And it's going to be, are you going to come out, Lee?
I would love to, Mark, but sadly, quote unquote, sadly.
You're going to be on your honeymoon.
I'm going to be on my honeymoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to be chilling in Key West, but good luck to all the teams. Elise, you need to get as you wish together.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to do, it's me and Sean and Joe and Dallas. And then I think that Sean's wife, Jen, is going to come, and she knows
smart?
A lot of, I've never met her, but from,
oh,
I mean,
she better be fucking smart.
She's probably smart. She's with Sean. Sean's really smart.
Oh, sometimes smart.
And he says she's smart, so I trust.
Okay.
I trust. And I'm sure
she'll
do great.
I'd love to know
who
you're talking about.
So would I.
All right.
I have no idea who she is. I'm like, is she a fucking idiot? I'm sure she's wonderful.
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, September 30th, 2019, Cape Coral, Florida, 7 p.m. at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar. The categories for the quiz that night will include 90s toys, Dungeons and Dragons, boating and fishing, power tools, GoldenEye, King of the Hill.
Did you actually write power tools? Graham?
No, I just, that was impressed. Ad-libbed. Whose line is it anyway? Speaking of improvisation.
Colin Mockery is the answer.
I'm just feeling, damn it, I got to change the question now. Country music and more. The final question category will be One Direction, selected by last week's biggest learners, Team Turkey. October 1st, 2019, we'll be at Gather in Cape Coral. The categories for that quiz will include NFL, classic rock, drunk astronauts, Pokemon, Japanese poetry, comic book movies, vocabulary, the U.S. Civil War, and more. Final wager question category that night will be the Saw movies, selected by last week's biggest learners. It's Moist O'Clock Somewhere. October 3rd, number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7 p.m. Categories for the quiz that night will include anime, U.S. states, beer, wines from South Africa, Atari, Harry Potter, music of the 1970s, movies of the 1980s, and more. Final category that evening will be
Sex and the City.
Selected by
not Sex in the City.
Team Hungover
sex.
Last night.
Also the city.
Yes, Sex and the City.
In addition to the city, Sex.
Yeah, there's Sex in the City on Sex and the City.
Yes.
You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. Oh, and also...
Oh no, I was getting ready for the Don't Won't You.
Oh yeah, I forgot though because I didn't have the Wednesday night in here. to fit you in, Mark.
Oh,
I mean, I know we've talked about it a couple times, but Wednesday, be sure to see Mark Davis doing trivia at Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m. Yes. But again,
a no-nonsense adjacent event.
No, Ed J. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us. Won't you?
And Elise is so quiet. I saw her mouth sing. Move. But
you can't even, like, Yoko it?
I can't, like...
Can you Yoko it?
I cannot.
I eyed her and I saw her go.
Okay.
There's a whisper.
Just pursed lips.
A little percussion. We'll have to turn up the track and see if we can get that
cranker.
In there. All right. I think we've earned a break after that long intro.
Yeah. Jesus
Let's take
Lord.
One and then we will be
take
back.
Take a breather.
We'll be back with some trivia in round one. Back
readying yourself. Okay, this okay. Is, everything's fine. This is good. This is good.
I love when first. Like I just am like announcing my anxiety all the time.
Here we go.
And Mike's wrong. And Elise is gonna go first. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay,
it is good though.
Yeah,
it is good.
It is. You're setting the mood.
Yeah. So I tried to just take some. Obviously, all of them are from my two trivia nights, but just the good ones.
Okay.
The better ones.
The so, best ones.
Okay. Should I just start?
What's yeah.
Going? Okay.
I was trying to do a clean intro, but...
Oh, yeah. Do a...
I'll no, go. No, we're oh. Good. Oh, okay. I thought we... Are we...
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, okay. We're good. This is it.
Okay, so here's this round one.
Okay, so just to reiterate, we're back. Elise is anxious, but riding high on the energy of a Quizmaster, two Quizmaster experiences.
So
and
many
ready to ask the
first
night.
Questions.
Okay.
So many just pumping on all gears.
Yeah.
And just she's just ready to go.
And killing here it. We go.
Question one. according to the CDC, and attributing it to the holidays and colder winter months keeping people indoors, what month of the year sees the most births in the United States?
I feel like December is a little too on the nose, and I feel like here December is never colder than January or February.
Well, this is according to the CDC,
it's,
though,
and so
it's all, not just Florida.
I know.
Open your mind. I think you might have misunderstood. So the births. So they're attributing it to.
Okay, the,
but
the,
I was,
because
I month,
people
the birth,
were people the, were basically inside in the cold and holidays just fucking because they couldn't go outside and then the births.
So the month of the births happened.
Yeah. So the month of the births is a different than the anyway.
Gotcha. So I was thinking December, but I was thinking because February would be really cold. But now that you've kind of interjected, I'm thinking it's probably not December if she's saying you're misunderstanding.
Well, I yeah,
No. I think she was saying that I was shooting for the month that the fucking
the
was
conception.
Going on.
Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Instead of the month that the baby happening is going
right.
on.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to someone about the husband stitch. Have
right.
you ever heard about this?
Ugh, no. Yes.
It's when they stitch the woman back up because her vagina tears during vaginal birth. And they make it.
I have heard of this. That's what
just,
I was afraid you were going to say.
They make it just a little bit tighter for the man.
Gross.
What?
They just, yeah, they stitch her up more.
I hope that's not true, but I think it probably is true.
Anyways,
it's disgusting.
We want to find the birth month, not the fuck month.
Yeah.
I thought the fuck month would be February.
Let me just say that the fuck month, I think, would be January.
Okay.
Which means it's not really 9 months
mm-hmm.
of gestation. Is that right?
It's technically
it's usually
10.
Technically 10. So February, March, April,
nine
May, June.
Average.
Well, January. Yeah, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Well, I guess October is the 10th month. That should have been relatively easy math, yeah. I guess.
Okay, so you're thinking October, November. Here's what I'm thinking, though. I feel like I don't know a lot of people in those months that are born in those months. When I think of most birthdays, summertime hits. Holy shit, man. Holy shit. June, July, August, September. Birthdays round the fucking clock those months.
That's what prompted me to look it up.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like July.
Can I hear the question one more time? I think I'm all fucked up here. Okay. I think I'm all backwards.
According to the CDC and attributing it to the holidays and colder winter months keeping people indoors.
Your tax dollars at work, folks.
What month of the year sees the most births in the United States?
I don't know why this question makes my head hurt. What is the colder months? I thought the colder months had to do with making the babies.
Right.
Yes.
So it is saying that this would be the month of birth of the baby.
It would be after
the fuck month.
Right.
We're looking for birth. So I'm thinking of it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you talking about summer for?
I just feel like most people. I know. I'm ignoring that. I'm just ignoring that part of the question. No, listen. I'm ignoring that part of the question. I don't. Because you have to say, oh, okay, the CDC is right, and that's why there's a lot of births. And to be honest, the weather, you're right. It's cold places. We don't know when it's cold. We don't know when it's cold. Mark, we're here in Florida.
People in Florida are just always constantly fucking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but that's because the heat's cooking our brains. We got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm thinking November starts to get cold in the northern United States. And then come July, a lot of births.
So you think November is a big time for snow? When you think about up north, you think of people
having their Thanksgiving dinner,
and it's so cold
out. It just says cold
for Thanksgiving that people aren't going out.
And I mean, it also they also motherfuckers are getting holidays.
See, I am from Maine, and I know people that live in Maine, and people are not like November. We couldn't go out. They're like,
I know November. I understand that, but I'm just the thinking, end of October, like I said,
where Halloween is. People are walking around.
I can't name one person I know with a birthday in October
fuck
right
the
now.
People you know, then they're not these fuck babies.
So what are you saying, Mark? What's your idea?
You have 12
I'm thinking
choices.
You've got December, January, or February that these people are fucking like crazy. December I think is but January and February, those are the fucking months where it's like up north, power lines are snapping. Those people are fucking to keep warm. They're fucking to live. And these babies are coming out about 9-10 months later. I think we're looking at October, November, somewhere in there.
October is the absolute latest I could possibly go. I would love you to come and meet me in September.
I'll do October.
October.
So the answer is August, but September is also a possibility. Like, I have gotten a couple different answers from that.
What does the CDC say?
They said August.
Okay.
But originally it was September. Like, it just recently went to August. They say, like, from July to October is, like, the biggest birthing
so that time. Means December and January are the fuck
but
months.
I know so many people born in September, so that's why I was like, I wonder when most people are born, and that's why I looked it up. And yep. I would have bet money that it was September, but it's August.
Shout out to John Lewis and Justin Peterson, both have a birthday in September.
Dallas too.
Dallas, yep.
Dallas's podcast mate Sam. She's September. There's September birthdays.
Wake me up when September ends. All right, here is your first question from me, because I go next.
This is normal.
Clockwise.
By what name is entertainer David Seth Kotkin better known?
How do you spell the last name?
K-O-T-K-I-N. David Seth Kotkin.
No fucking idea. Is it just entertainer? Can you give me, like, what?
I cannot.
That is almost a clue in and of itself.
Yeah, because that would, so it must be some sort of like niche thing.
You know what? I haven't told you in a while.
Hmm.
I like your brain.
You like my sus?
I like your brain.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to go bigger than the sus.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Mark.
I'm just saying, I like your brain.
Right back at you, bud.
It's a good brain.
DSK are the initials?
DSK.
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 Now your brain is a little weirder. But okay,
disc.
So he can't.
The disc man,
the creator of the compact disc.
David.
Seth. Kotkin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is specific enough that you can't tell me what it is. So
entertainer. Oh, I just stopped myself. Yeah, I wonder if that means that they're multi-talented,
right?
Or if it means that they don't have a specialty per se. But like, I can't think of what that would be, like a general entertainer that doesn't have a specialty.
Yeah. I think it's something, it's a specific enough specialty that he can't share it because it would just give it away. Like, it's something like.
Can we ask a hint? Is this individual still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you hear a weird noise, it's me doing this.
Please don't do that.
God, David, I don't even.
Seth Kotkin.
Know where to begin.
Kotkin.
Please don't.
Kotkin.
David Seth. Davey. Davey. Davey? Something?
I think didn't the guy from the Monkees die?
Yeah.
He's not alive.
And his last name was Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kotkin.
Which was David Bowie's name, and he had to change his name because Davy Jones was already famous.
Dave,
I feel like David Bowie deserves to have his original name if he wants it, but Bowie's pretty good. That's a pretty good fake name.
Yeah that is a good name. Dave.
Named after the Bowie knife.
Dave.
David Seth.
I just made that up.
Kotkin.
Kotkin.
Don't send a miscorrection in. I was just talking.
Dave. Davey. David.
Could it be entertainer? Entertainer. So, just a little, if we could just dig into the question a little bit. Did you purposefully not say what a profession is to make the question harder? Or is it that they can't be described in any other context other than an entertainer? Like, could you not say chef? You didn't want to say chef, so you said entertainer to kind of like inflate the difficulty?
By what name is entertainer David Seth Kotkin better
known? Right. And I don't know. You don't have to tell me what the other thing is. I'm just curious about.
I'm not answering anything else.
You won't talk to me about the way that this question is formed.
Nope. I'm afraid not. Can't give away any more information. I got to put on my poker face.
I don't
think this is a hint. If you don't tell any of the details, you can just say like the reason that I'm just curious about your methodology as a quizmaster.
I'll give it to you after you answer.
Okay. All right. Because is Gordon Ramsay a real name? Come on.
Is Guy Fieri an actual name?
There you go. Fire Guy is basically his name. And he wears flame shirts.
Come on.
Fire
Guy.
This is our hopeful senator from the state of Alabama. There's nothing suspicious about him. He's only 7 feet tall and his name is Luther Strange. That's real. That's not a joke I made up. That is a real event that happened in history. The names are weird. Guy Fieri. That can't be his name.
He is
an entertainer.
Yeah.
Is he a chef even? He seems to know a lot about food.
He doesn't eat eggs. What type of fucking? Sorry, I have this thing about him.
I don't know.
No, I don't know that he has an allergy, but like, I just think it's weird that he's this huge food guy. He's like, yeah, but I won't eat eggs. That just seems very.
Jason Mantzoukas has an egg allergy.
Oh yeah, he has like a deadly egg allergy.
Yeah,
I'm suspicious of chefs that don't eat certain foods, as well as musicians that don't like certain kinds of music.
Mm.
Both of those things always make me suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on there? Anyway,
David
Seth Kotkin.
Disc.
Guy Fieri. Is that what? I mean, I can't.
Let's just say
there's
Guy
a million celebrities we could run through.
Guy Fieri.
Yep. We're calling him out.
The correct answer is David Copperfield.
Oh, I was thinking of a I was like, is it a magician? Like, because you said entertainer, and the first thing that popped in my mind was like
a Charles Dickens character.
You know,
like the amazing Jonathan, and I was like, well, his name's Jonathan, so it's not.
I had to be very open with entertainer
because he kept the first name,
but I didn't want to just say what, because originally the question is, who is this person for real?
Yeah,
how are they known?
Yeah.
Right,
but I wanted to slim it, but I didn't want to slim it so much. And I figured entertainer, in most minds, people would be like, well, entertainer is probably not just a musician. Probably not just a, you know, like it would have to kind of be like an other.
Right. That, a Renaissance man.
Yeah. Or, like someone who just either did a bunch of stuff or did one thing in particular that if I had slimmed it down to one specific thing.
It kind of put it into the field of, like, you have to know this fact about David Copperfield. Like, you have to have heard this one. Yeah, okay, so, yeah, priced appropriately as far as the points go.
I was thinking of a magician. I just
couldn't think of a
magician named David because I'm an idiot.
Entertainer could serve as a good code word for magician in the future if you think about that, you know, because they do change their names a lot.
Yeah.
For stage name purposes and stuff like that. That's the other area that my brain was going to is maybe it's like a, you know, drag queen. Somebody from RuPaul's Drag Race.
That was,
But I don't, you know, I know a handful of those. Anyway, my first question for you guys, the category that was requested was obscure holidays. Now, last week saw the beginning of the Festival of Novelty Items, which is observed annually on September 24th. You guys are familiar with the concept of novelty items?
Yeah.
Yes.
They used to sell them up at the Chocolate Schmooze in downtown Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. Fake dog poo, x-ray glasses and such. Mm-hmm. What novelty item sold over 20 million units between the years 2000 and 2001? Very hot item. From 2000 to 2001, a novelty item sold over 20 million units.
A modern novelty item. A modern-ish novelty item.
And so their sus begins.
2000 and 2001, way too early for fidget spinners.
Yeah. This is when I...
Slap bracelets?
So 2000 to 2001, I was... No, slap bracelets were earlier than
that.
Yeah,
I know. I don't talk about how old they are.
2000, I was 15. What did
so
I
this
like
is right,
I
this
15?
Is around when we first met.
Yeah, yeah.
A little before.
Take yourselves back.
Way back to...
To the days of the year 2000.
The Anchorage
the new millennium.
Days. Year 2000.
Well, right before the Anchorage 4. Right around the beginning of. Novelty items.
What the hell did I like when I was 15? Weezer.
Mm. You did. How do you think of them? How do you feel about them now? Yeah. Okay. That says it all.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm 20 years old and I'm fresh out of high school and the planes are about to go into the towers, but I don't know it yet. And everybody's buying this novelty item, and it's something that everybody's liking, and everybody's buying them up, and it is what? Gum that makes your mouth bleed.
I'm trying to think of like what they've sold at Hot Topic at that time, because they had all sorts of...
Condoms with holes punched in them.
Puka shell necklaces.
I'll just give you a hint. This item was so popular that it broke out of Hot Topic and Spencer's and entered mainstream culture. You could get this at Walmart. It was that popular.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm drawing such a blank.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But, you know, it originated in places like Hot Topic? Is that what that implying?
No, I'm going to give you I don't know if I've ever seen this in a Hot Topic, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
You said it broke out of, which made me think that it started in those places.
Well, no, Elise mentioned it. So I was just saying it wasn't just like a novelty item that the novelty crowd, so to speak, caught onto it.
Yeah.
You know, this was a mainstream cultural artifact.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. I will say...
We've got some hard questions. I have no... I don't know. I can't even think of... Like, my mind isn't...
Yeah, something... Not a fidget spinner. Something stupid.
Oh, yeah.
What about the... No, that was when I was younger.
Chinese finger traps.
What about like...
Phloem? Was that you were motioning phloem?
Well, I was thinking of like GAC or something, but that was GAC. When I was like... Right. Mm-hmm. I was younger for that.
Yeah, I have no clue. Mm-mm. We'll just say GAC.
GAC.
The correct answer is Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Oh.
You remember?
Oh, he was definitely a novelty item.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that was that long ago. Because it feels simultaneously like so much longer and just yesterday.
Yeah.
I hear it just enlisted. The Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Okay.
Okay.
It's going to serve our country on the front lines.
Good. Let it die for our country.
Break my heart.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, this is
my next question. What 2007 film and current stage show set in Dublin features two struggling musicians simply credited as Guy, a vacuum repairman, and Girl, a flower seller?
You know this. I think I know this. Is it Once?
Falling slowly.
Yes.
Yeah. Weren't they a band?
Yeah, they were the Swell Season.
Yeah.
So they were a band before the movie was made, or did they meet on set and then?
No, I'm really bad with that. The timeline of how that was. I believe they were a band after that.
They definitely went on tour after the movie. Yes. I think they were nominated, or they even won a Grammy. I'm pretty sure
they won the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
Right.
Yeah, for Falling Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some other awards too. But yeah. I saw the stage show is at the Broadway Palm right now. Until
that's why
tomorrow.
It's fresh in my mind, yeah. For sure. Because we have a local production going on
this past week, and they took a lot of artistic liberty with the stage show, and almost made it more of like the actors did a very good job. They were really good musicians. They sang really well, but I have a lot of gripes with it.
Mm.
But I would still suggest going to see it. To support local, you know, stuff. There you
go. I think theater is one of those.
Support local stuff, says yeah. Elise.
I think theater is one of those things where I'm okay with giving the team a lot of license to interpret and how they want. Because it's such a, ephemeral medium, like mm-hmm. it doesn't stick around for a very long time. Yeah. It's kind of in the moment to be there,
yeah.
And you're basing it off of some source material, and there's so many different creative people involved in making it that it kind of just ends up to be what it is, you know.
Just,
and there's going to
the
be
movie was just
another
so
one.
Like hard hitting and serious and just beautiful and such a great movie in my opinion. And then I feel like I get why they made it a little less. You know, a little funnier to kind of take the edge off a little bit, but I feel like
was it goofy?
It got goofy. Like they made her like.
I take back what I said.
Really? Yeah. Like they, it was like a lot of goofy stuff that I feel like took away from the beauty of the movie that like people who like that movie really appreciated.
I
think
it seems like they captured something with it, like lightning in a bottle. That's what that movie.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. But check it out if you haven't seen it once.
Yeah, definitely watch the movie. Because
maybe watch it a second time.
I did. That's the problem. I did only watch it once when it first came out. But yeah, I remember enjoying it quite a bit. All right, I've got
Whoa. Oh, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm trying to steal your question.
God damn it. Question two. What author who died in 1986 holds the Guinness Book of World Record title for most published works by one author? And that's my question. I'm Mark. I'm second.
Can I hear it one more time, please?
Yes. What author who died in 1986 holds the Guinness Book of World Record title for most published works by one author?
Douglas Adams died later in the late 90s. I think.
Yeah, I don't think he died that early.
Did you say what nationality?
I did not.
Okay.
What nationality?
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle did not live that long.
Conan?
William Shakespeare died.
Arthur Conan Doyle. Oh, my name is Conan O'Brien.
Isn't that how you pronounce the show? Conan?
Conan.
Who did you mention?
Brian.
I said William Shakespeare, just joking.
Oh, yes, William Shakespeare.
He died a little. Yeah, he did. He died a little bit before that, yeah.
Because he was so incredibly old.
He was really hanging on there for that last 300 years.
Oh, God. Died in 1980. Is it a woman or a man? Can you say that?
It's a man.
It's a man, okay.
It's a man, baby.
So
yeah.
It's not Ayn Rand.
Yeah, fuck
Harper
her.
Lee survived into the new millennium.
Because she wrote that Watchmen.
Ghost Set a Watchmen, her second book that was published. Some believe without
that
her.
Album, that book title.
Why?
I just hate it.
It sounds. Does it sound like pretentious to you or something like that? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to figure out why you
have feelings sounds, about it. It sounds like a bad sentence.
Like it doesn't translate into go set a watchman.
Yeah.
Set a watchman what? Set a watchman to 3 yes. o'clock? Set a watchman it's, down
set him on fire?
What is a watchman?
Yeah. Well, go set one and you'll find out.
Yeah, it's like what it just sounds like what an old person
here's
would scream
$10,
to a
go
young
see
kid.
A Star Wars.
Exactly. Well, go maybe, set a watchman.
Maybe it's explained in the book.
Yeah, probably, but I hate it.
Anyways, it's not Harper Lee.
To Kill a Mockingbird, that's a fucking book title.
Yeah, that is a good book title.
Go Set a Watchman is like, what shit compared to fucking To Kill a Mockingbird?
Well, as far as I know, she wasn't planning to ever release the book, and she was motivated by somebody else coerced.
Money?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, no. But it was like her family.
Her
or,
estate.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was still alive, but they were like, you should really publish this other book.
I'm not saying anything about the book.
Mm-hmm.
She could have made the title anything she wanted to.
Well, I'm saying she probably picked. Agrees with you. She was probably like, this isn't good. I'm not going to publish this. And then later on,
but she,
under duress.
It doesn't matter. It's a shit title, whether it's at her inner house or on a bookshelf. She could have named it anything. What the fuck was she thinking? I guess we'll never know because she's dead now.
I'm sure some of our listeners agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
What?
I don't care personally, but you raise an interesting point. I'm going to look into this.
It's the worst
author with a lot of writings and it's a dude.
Yep.
And he died a year after I was born. And he wrote a lot, and you won't tell us where he's from.
Correct.
And
she looked at me when she said that.
Side-eyeing you.
With such anger. Contempt.
It's not Stanley, because we recently lost him.
Right.
But he did write a shitload of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if those count as books, but
who wrote
it's not
a bunch
him.
Of shit?
I think I know who it is.
Who?
I believe... It is Lafayette Ronald Hubbard, L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh.
Right? 1986.
Yes, let's
he
go with that.
He wrote hundreds of books. Hundreds.
Let's go with L. Ron Hubbard.
A lot of people guessed Dr. Seuss.
Mm.
Oh, that would have been a good guess, too. Mm-hmm.
But the correct answer is L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good job.
Very good.
Thank you. All right, now it's time for me to ask a question. See, we took a week off. I'm already losing the system here. All right, this is a first aid question, so we're going to see how good your guys' first aid knowledge is in case there's ever an emergency. And maybe listeners at home in your car, you can play along as well. No, it's not something so simple. What are the ABCs of first aid? What does A stand for, B stand for, and C stand for? In terms of the process of administering first aid to an individual.
God, I really should know this. I went to school to be a medical assistant.
So C is compression? Is it for how... The way this question is worded...
These are the three things that you're supposed to check for first if you come across somebody in duress.
Okay.
You know, such as Harper Lee.
I didn't know if you meant stuff that's supposed to be in a first aid kit or stuff... Okay.
Yep.
Ask if they are okay.
Are these one word?
Yes.
Okay.
A, B, and C.
Ask. I'm going to go with.
No, ask is terrible.
Well,
hello there, good sir.
Ask, are you dying?
Question marks.
Who, what, where, when, why, and how? Tell me.
The 5 W's and an H.
Um,
So, I'm sorry. How did you word it again? It's the three things you look for.
Yes. If you come across somebody,
okay. Airway, airway, airway.
Awareness.
Oh. Isn't A airway? Like you have to make sure that they have.
Maybe. Okay. We're working together here. But I'm thinking awareness. First thing. Are you
aware?
Are you are you awake? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some form of hello.
Airway.
Breathing.
Breathing. Yeah, yeah. Breathing. I bet B is breathing.
B is probably breathing. C is you got to check their cock.
Yeah.
Make sure that it can get hard.
That's what I do first.
She goes CAB. This is she's a cab kind of girl.
C does not stand for cock, no. But technically, this is involved. You could consider that
pulse
part of it.
C is pulse.
She's not totally
the
wrong.
ABPs.
She's not totally wrong.
So, compression, CPR, CPR.
No, because we're looking
ABCPR.
Okay, it's something we're looking for. So we're looking for breathing.
Breathing.
We're looking for. What is another thing that pulse?
Awareness, breathing,
blood pumping, chest, something to do with them being the blood pumping,
cock. Circulation, airway. No, okay. It's not airway.
Is it, do you think it's awareness, breathing, and circulation? Do you think awareness is the right one?
Sure. Yeah.
Awareness, breathing, and circulation. Yeah, like they're.
Make sure they're aware. They're breathing, and
make sure that they have
a pulse.
They have circulation.
Okay, we'll go with that.
I'm questionable about A, but I feel pretty good about a B and C. All right, we're going to say awareness, breathing, circulation.
Breathing and circulation are B and C, and A is airway.
Oh.
It's airway, breathing, and circulation.
Yeah.
Awareness, I think that you just figure, we'll deal with the awareness later.
Yeah.
We have to keep the body alive right
now. Well, I was kind of thinking when we were going through, I was like, well, if they're aware, then they're probably breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, aware, we can leave. Our
airway,
job here is done.
Yeah, because now I kind of remember learning this.
I'm sorry,
years ago.
I took you the wrong path there.
That I wasn't too sure on because I feel like airway and breathing kind of are the, you know. But you're checking to see if their airway is clear. Then you're checking to see if they're breathing. And then
yeah.
So now I remember. But.
And now we all know.
What a long, arduous first round.
Hey.
I feel so tired.
Yeah, it's like the Lord of the Rings. We're going to.
A lot of laughter.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of good times.
Great times.
Let's take a break. Let's get our shit together and then come back for round number two and some more questions.
Here we are in round two, and we're going to kick things off with some miscorrections. And
Lisa's going to sing with us very loud.
Yep. Here we go. Miscorrections. Ba 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 da ba 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 da
da da da ba 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 da ba. Miscorrections.
Yeah. Woo! She even did the ending.
With all the enthusiasm of Daria. Miscorrections.
Missed corrections.
All right. So first,
loud yet also unenthusiastic. No, you did fine.
Yeah, sometimes if we take too long of a break in between, the energy depletes.
Yes,
it's like, I think Elisa's like, geez, I'm talking this whole time. Let's just get
as soon
going
as we here. Were, as soon as we were done, she boot scooted her way to the bathroom. She was
a woman have smaller bladders, Mark, so, you know.
Well, that's
I went
true.
To Universal, and the two women that I went with today. Were mad at me for going to the bathroom so often. They're like, you have to go again?
You should not feel bad about that.
It's fine.
Comfort is king.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
And you need to push fluids.
So, Mark, you got a miscorrection from our friend Tim, right?
Small miscorrection about the Druthy Bear, the place in Maine that I played trivia. I was just kind of free-handing some information. It is in Rockport, not Rockland. They're both next to each other, and they're basically the same fucking city to me or town to me.
Wow.
But there is a difference. It is in Rockport. And the owner is Scottish, not British, or not, yeah, not English.
Yeah.
And his name is Andrew, not whatever the hell I guessed. And so since he's going to be on the show, I should probably set that stuff straight. But since we plan on having him on, you know.
Scottish you Andrew.
Know. Scottish Andrew.
Okay, great. And then that was only the first of your many mistakes, because you also messed up some song lyrics, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. The Leslie Gore song is not "It's My Birthday, and I'll Cry If I Want To." It's "My Party."
And listening back, I miscorrected myself.
Immediately. Episode was posted, and then 5 minutes later,
I was horrified. I get mortified.
Yeah. It's happened to the best of us, man. All right. And then we got a couple no notes. We got some good listener feedback that we'd like to share with you guys.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, notes.
Yeah, so we have, I've been noticing, and I don't know if you've noticed also, we've been getting kind of a small influx of people joining the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen, please join us, and join us, won't you?
Won't
and,
you?
And we had Katie Willemzig, I think I'm pronouncing her last name correctly.
From St. Louis.
Now, we get a lot of people that join, but don't really say anything. They join and like read.
They lurk.
Yeah, they lurk.
I'm a lurker, so I'm fine with that. I
but
love to.
She came in and I added her, and immediately she wrote, "Just want to say I love the podcast. I've never heard butt plug banter and a spot on Elmo impression," which was me,
mm-hmm,
"all on the same car ride. Thanks for the edutainment on my daily commute."
Wonderful.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie.
Oh, Jesus.
Can you warn us next time, Mark? Can you please give us a goddamn warning next time?
We very much appreciate you listening.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We got an email, too, from Andrew. Andrew says, "Andrew here, love the podcast. Got caught up on all of your episodes. Want to send you guys some thoughts. Started listening to the podcast in June on an 8-hour drive to Disneyland from Sacramento." We are a road trip discovery podcast, I think, is what I'm getting from this.
Mm-hmm. We are.
People searching for trivia on their podcast providers, finding us. That's great. "I originally started listening to keep me engaged so I wouldn't fall asleep on the road." Next time, Andrew, please take a second and get some sleep.
Feel free to nap.
Yeah. "It worked, and now I'm hooked. Started listening at 38, listened to the most recent, then continued with episode 1 and finished on 37 like a crazy person would. I listen to you guys on Spotify, so there's no place for me to leave a review, I think, but if I could, I'd give you 5 stars only. Like others have said, your podcast feels like I'm hanging out with old friends. You guys have become my all-time favorite podcast, and I'm sad that I have no backlog of episodes to listen to on my daily commute. Andrew, let me point you over to our Patreon, where there is at least 10 extra hours right now up of no-nonsense trivia podcast content, extra quizzes, if you're looking for some extra no-no there. I have no background on trivia other than listening to the no-no, but I enjoy playing along and can't wait for my opportunity to submit a bum bum ba da ba 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 da 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 bum bum ba da bum miscorrection. Listening in such a short time frame, it's amazing to hear how many times you guys thought that Lincoln was the 13th president.
Yeah.
I thought it was ingrained in everybody's mind that he was 16th. Maybe just me. Nope, it's not just
no,
you.
No.
It's
no,
us.
It's many it's people, us. And we are very yeah. dumb.
Anyways, I wanted to submit some rate my questions. So, Andrew, we're going to get to that later this episode. So we're going to – but thanks
so
for
– stick around.
Thanks for writing in. He says, "Hope this email gave you guys a good chuckle. Keep up the great work. Can't wait for the next episode. If I ever make it back out to Florida – I'll have to come to both of your trivias."
Please do.
Yes.
Yeah, Katie also, she was on a road trip, and they like trivia and searched for trivia podcasts and said, in her words, "We tried a few, and yours was by far the best." So
hell,
we appreciate that
yeah.
very much. Thank,
thank
you.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you, Andrew.
Yes, thank you both very much, and you know, let people know if you know other people that love trivia. And I've heard a lot of people saying, even if you don't like trivia, you know, it's still fun to learn some stuff and to kind of figure out that you know more stuff than you thought you knew.
Yep.
Because you only know what you know.
Right.
It's kind of hard to determine what other people do and don't know, you know, based on your life experiences. So.
And if you know more than us and you want to let us know, you can either correct us with a missed correction or you can submit your own trivia question with Rate My Question. Write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please and thank you.
Or a no-note just telling us that we're dum-dums or whatever general information you want us to know. And with that, let's go ahead and get started with round numero dos of trivia. Pirates of the Caribbean. You're familiar of this movie franchise, yes?
Yes.
Oh, the movie, right. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, however you pronounce it, On Stranger Tides is the most expensive movie ever made. What is the second most expensive movie ever made?
I bet it's Avatar.
Is this adjusted for inflation? Or are we talking strictly dollars spent?
I think strictly dollars spent.
Okay.
I don't know. That was my guess. Avatar was probably really expensive, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But there have been, I mean, there have been several movies since Avatar.
Yeah.
And, you know, not adjusted for inflation gives me pause that it might be one of these newer
ones. I think
ones.
At one point it was Avatar being the most expensive.
These are unadjusted for inflation.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that gives me pause on Avatar. Yeah. That is a great guess. And I'd like to put it in our sidebar of potentials.
Yeah.
For sure. If we can't think of something more modern than that. So let's see here. We have Star Wars movies that have been made since then.
Yeah.
We have Marvel movies that have been made since then. Some of these have very big casts.
Yeah. What about Endgame?
I will say that it is also the second most adjusted for inflation.
Hmm. So then that bodes well for Avatar then.
Yeah.
it's back, baby.
Yeah.
I
didn't know a Pirates of the Caribbean movie was the most expensive, though.
That might be the first time I've heard the name of that movie.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Is that like the fourth one? How many are there? Like,
they got to cut it out.
Yeah.
Just make some new stuff, guys. Please. It'll happen. There's going to be a breaking point, and people are just going to stop watching remakes and franchises.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some young indie filmmaker that's just going to make an amazing movie that's an original concept, and it's going to influence all these other indie filmmakers, and then they'll become the new class.
Yeah.
You know, as far as what do I know? They're up against Disney, so what am I talking about?
Mm.
You know. Anyway.
I think Avatar, but that's it just keeps coming up in my head.
We talk sometimes though about knowing your quizmaster, and would Mark really like have ask us that question? Would Avatar be the answer? Doesn't it seem a little obvious in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, he tries to do the like real hard ones.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'm right here.
Let's.
These questions are too hard.
Let's think of a modern competitor. Endgame.
I'd say Endgame.
Endgame
probably
has so many actors in it.
Yeah.
And it's a huge special effects spectacular.
Yeah.
And this other Pirates movie that I haven't heard of, maybe it's yet to come out or just came out, so it's relatively recent, and that's why it's more expensive than Endgame was.
Yeah, and I mean, the Star Wars movies could be, but the Star Wars movies I feel like are more CGI than like actual big name actors and they're being paid. So I don't know which is more expensive, is to pay an actor or do the CGI stuff.
Plus, the actors that you're getting are big, but, I mean, let's be real. You could probably get Harrison Ford at a better rate these days than you could 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think Endgame is a good one, too.
Let's do it. Endgame. Yeah. I feel better about that for second ever. Avatar, it was at one point. I feel like it's fallen off.
Let's go with Endgame.
Avengers Endgame.
Correct answer, nominal was $365 million. But adjusted for inflation, $386 million. The correct answer is Avengers Age of Ultron.
Whoa.
Oh,
so
okay.
The worst Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. Avatar is 14th adjusted for inflation. Some other movies that are in the adjusted top 10, Tangled, Spider-Man 3, Infinity War. Endgame is 4th.
Okay.
Also, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides came out in 2011.
Oh okay.
Has been around for a while. It's just so many special effects. I thought it was pretty interesting. Adjusted for inflation, the movie made before the 1990s that first pops up is Cleopatra in 25. $31.1 million nominal. $255 million inflated.
Wow.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's such a big jump.
That was Elizabeth Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Spider-Man 2, King Kong, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Almost all the movies in the top 20 were made after 2010, except for Waterworld.
Oh, I remember that. That was famously disappointing.
172 nominal, 283 adjusted. And then Wild Wild West, 1999, and Titanic.
Wow.
Just almost all of the movies are after 2000, even inflated.
This is a decent bad movie festival. Like, if you're just going to watch bad movies, Waterworld, Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So was Waterworld.
I was a kid. I was the target audience. I remember being disappointed in that movie.
Yeah.
The ticket was, I saw it at the theater that you could buy $1.50 tickets. Mm-hmm. I still felt like, ugh.
Like, what a waste.
Yeah. Because I have a popcorn in that movie. Could have had a popcorn and just eaten it in silence.
Had one popcorn. All right.
Here's a NASCAR question for you guys. I know you're big fans.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But classic NASCAR. In 1979, the national media became fixated on a fist fight at the Daytona 500 between the Allison brothers and what other NASCAR driver? Who fought the Allison brothers in the center of the field at the track in 1979 at the Daytona 500?
I know literally one NASCAR driver's name.
I bet you could think of more than one.
Oh,
I bet you could.
I can think of him and his son, Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
That's
Those are the two people that I know.
You have no other? There's several that I feel like are.
I seriously have no other.
All right.
People.
Mark, how are you doing? Can you name more than those two?
There's one guy that's coming
Ricky
to mind.
Bobby.
There's one guy that's coming to mind, and I think he's the right answer maybe, but I can't remember his name. And he has a mustache.
He has a mustache. What else? Could you describe him in further detail?
He's skinny.
Uh-huh. Does he wear any fashion accessories, typically?
Glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like sunglasses.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about.
Is he the right guy? Am I wasting my time? Because
I don't know who you're talking about. I just... Okay. It might be, but I don't... Based on that, you're still describing a ton of NASCAR drivers.
Skinny guy, mustachioed,
glasses,
sunglasses.
I'm looking at my guess who, and I'm like, can't flip any of these.
Here's the thing. I think his name is Rick something or Ricky something, but I keep just thinking of Ricky Bobby. And then you saying it didn't help.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it was not meant as a poke at you. What the fuck is this guy's name? That's him. And his name is Richard Petty.
Hmm. Richard Petty won that year, 1979. It was his sixth victory.
As soon as I saw him, I remembered his name.
He had no cause to be angry with anyone.
Okay.
So this was a fist fight between the Allison brothers and another driver who they had gotten into one of the Allison brothers had gotten into a crash with this other driver, and after allowing Richard Petty to go across the finish line and win. So these drivers got out of their cars. Another one of the Allison's brothers came up to support him.
The brothers Allison.
The brothers.
Can we refer to them as the brothers Allison?
We absolutely can. The brothers Allison left their cars to fight Carl Yarborough. Carl Yarborough.
Don't know that name at all.
Well, he is infamous for getting into this fight and kind of putting NASCAR to the front of the national media attention in 1979 because it was kind of
he's who we have to fucking blame.
Yeah.
For this look.
I'm not certain who. I'm not, you know, Florida is a no-fault accident state, so I'm not sure who is to blame for this accident at the Daytona 1979 Daytona 500, but Carl Yarborough is his name.
Okay. Time for your second question, Elise.
On Parks and Recreation, what alter ego did April use during Tom's snake juice release party?
One more time?
On Parks and Rec, what alter ego did April use during Tom's snake juice release party?
April Ludgate, played famously by
Aubrey Plaza.
Thank you, Aubrey Plaza. It would be funny if her alternate identity on the show was Aubrey Plaza.
Her alternate identity, meta. I think it's the same one that they use when he's Burt Macklin.
Yes.
And her name is fucking what?
My knowledge on this is so limited. I've seen the show. I don't even know if I've seen it all the way through once.
Have you seen all of The Office?
Yeah. Only once. So when Michael Scott left, I said goodbye to the show. I was like,
when he left, you left.
Yeah,
pretty take, much. Parks and Rec is way better than The Office.
I think so too.
Okay, thank you.
There's a nostalgia factor I think associated with The Office too, because it came first, you know.
Yeah, and, but Parks and Rec has the one scene that like makes me laugh harder than anything.
What scene?
When they
here you are.
When they're doing when she's campaigning and they have the red carpet on the ice rink and it doesn't go out far enough, and then Get on Your Feet keeps playing, and they're trying to walk across the ice and get her on the stage. And then the guy comes out to do the slam dunk and he just fucking slips. It's so good. I can't even every time. It's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing I've ever seen on TV.
Yes. Okay. April Ludgate. I'm Burt Macklin, and I'm fucking some name, and you're no help. You're just staring at me.
I don't know it. I don't know it. I'm not. Why should I say anything? I don't know.
Is it? It's Mrs. Something.
Missy Vaughn. Maybe a reference to
don't
Pee-wee.
Don't do this to me. Don't bring that back up to me.
I can say that. So it was. Snake juice could possibly be a clue.
Okay. Snake juice could possibly be a clue.
I mean, as much of a clue as you could get, I guess.
What do you call a lady snake? The cobras. Is that the band Cobras? Is that where they get their name from? Is it Cobras? Is that her name?
I don't think so.
No? That's kind of a weird... Burt, what did you say? McIntyre?
Burt Macklin.
Macklin and Cobras. Cobras.
Cobras. Cobras.
First name, Cobras. Last name, Cobras.
FBI. Burt Macklin. FBI. Yeah, Burt Macklin. Something snake-related. Woman.
Sissy.
Venom.
Sissy Venom.
Miss Venom.
Sissy Venom.
But it's like Sissy Venom.
Oh, yeah.
That's the drag queen version.
I have no idea.
Janet Snakehole.
Janet Snakehole?
Yep.
It doesn't get any more obvious than that.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Burt Macklin is already kind of, I don't know, Luther Strange? What?
They're my favorite TV couple, I think. Yeah, although Ben and Leslie are really good too.
I need to give that show some more attention for sure.
You really should.
Like, you know what? I've been watching Cheers because I've never seen it ever. So like,
oh, Cheers is so good. That was the first episode of a show I remember crying.
Yeah,
I was very young. I was probably like, I was like probably 12 or 13 or something. Yeah. When did it end?
80s, early 80s. Or no, mid 80s.
I believe it might
I'm going to guess 93.
Taxi was late 70s, early 80s. And then Cheers kind of picked up after
May,
right?
May 20th, 1993.
I said 93. All right,
there you go. My bad.
So I was 13.
Like I said, I've never seen it. This is not my territory.
And man, I'll tell you, I don't know if it just set something in me or if it was already in me that made me like relate to it, but the idea of having a place where a bunch of people go and, you know, to be around each other.
Where everybody knows your name.
Where everybody knows your name.
That and they're sense of community.
And they're always glad you came.
Mm-hmm.
And them closing that bar. Like, I just remember, well, I won't, you know, mention the end, you know. But
thank you.
Yeah. But it's very, very good.
Okay.
It's good. Just very, very good.
I look
good.
Forward to finishing it.
It's a great
series. That and Frasier have been my go-to post-trivia, eat my hamburger before I fall asleep.
Your tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, we did a deep dive last night on those lyrics, by the way. I think just in case you're curious, I think his name is Bruce Miller, the composer, was tasked with writing a theme song for Frasier, and he was instructed to not use any specific terminology related to psychiatry or radio or anything like that. So he had a couple little melodies that he was working on, and he asked one of his other friends who was a good lyricist to help him out. And so they had the call, and the guy said, okay, let me think about this. And a few minutes later, he called back, and he's like, all right, so let's go with this, like, tossed salad and scrambled eggs thing. That's like the callers. The callers are the tossed salad and scrambled eggs. And when I hear the blues a-calling, that's people calling into a show. And, you know, what's the third line?
I've got you pegged.
Yeah, like, so I know exactly what your problem is. Yeah, I may seem like I'm confused, but I know what's going on here. But I still don't know what to do with, because they keep coming and coming, these tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
That's really interesting.
So he was, even though he was directed not to write it about the show at all, they found this wonderful abstract way to do it that comes out like, who would do this? And there was they had another singer in mind, but the producers were like, we want Kelsey to try it. And once he recorded it, they were like, it's perfect. That's done, yeah.
Him saying, because you picture him after hours singing with Roz, mm-hmm. you know, maybe tie undone a little. His suit jacket akimbo,
right?
Singing this on stage.
Thinking about Cheers, his previous life.
Yeah.
His history. All right, here is your second question from
me. Oh, I want to take the second question this round.
Well, you can't.
I know.
Who Seed won order. An Oscar for playing a crossdresser going by the name of Thomas Kent?
Was it Jared Leto played a crossdresser, right?
In
Dustin Hoffman played it, but that wasn't.
That was Tootsie.
Yeah.
But you're thinking of the movie Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
He did win an Oscar for that.
Yes. I don't know what his name was.
I don't think anybody in. I'm trying to think of other cross dressing movies. Oh, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything.
Is
Julie Newmar.
John Leguizamo made a really pretty woman in that movie. But, so the crossdresser's name was Thomas Kent. Was that the name of the person?
The character?
Right, but, like, when they were dressed as the other sex, or when they weren't? Like, was that...
Did you say drag queen? Or you said crossdresser?
I said crossdresser.
Oh, okay.
Because...
So that is a gender-neutral crossdressing term.
Yeah, so...
You're asking if it was a drag king.
Right.
Yeah.
If Thomas it was a woman Kent dressing as a man. Could have been a woman dressed as a man and going as Thomas Kent.
But I can't think of an Oscar.
Other than
like
Boys Don't Cry, winner. But that was about, that wasn't Thomas Kent.
Because mm-hmm.
that was a true story about Brandon and Tina.
What about the, what was that movie that Ace Ventura parodied? The Crying Game.
Oh. But what actor?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I know all there is to know about the Crying Game.
That wasn't. But who was that? Who sang that song?
I don't know.
The only person that I can think of that won that was Jared Leto. That won.
That sounds good. Let's go with it.
Jared Leto.
Have you guys heard of a movie called Shakespeare in Love?
Oh.
It featured Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it was.
Who played a woman that dresses a man named Thomas Kent.
Oh my God.
To play Romeo.
Elise, great question. You were on the right track there.
And I didn't know really where to go with it because no one last night asked me. And I had loads of people write Jared Leto. But I thought the way that I phrased the question kind of lent itself
it
to
was
say
was
that the.
Saying,
that
yeah.
The cross-dressed person's name.
Yeah.
Because the question is worded, who,
yeah,
blah, 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 who played a mm-hmm. cross-dresser named Thomas Kent.
Yeah.
Great question.
Thank you.
Love question.
It. Yeah. Thank you. All right. I have a medical terms question for you guys to close out the second round. Otorhinolaryngology.
I close out the second round.
Yeah. You're just all fucked up.
What's up?
She closed
out I'm sorry.
Round. Yeah. I don't know why you're just obsessed.
It's an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Go ahead, ask your question. Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm
Elise
sorry.
Just fucking put you on blast.
Yes.
So
first of all,
showing off
the second round. Second of all, before you were finishing the question, it's an ENT.
No, I'm sorry. Can you ask a different question?
I ruined it. You know what? This episode is running a little long, so we can just move on. But
what was the question?
Yeah, just to clarify, the question was otorhinolaryngology is the study of the diseases of what?
Okay.
Yeah. So, your nose and throat is what I'm I was looking for. No, you're fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You know what, Elise? You want to take over? You want these headphones? So you want to do this? You want to run this fucking ship?
Please. No. Just kidding.
All right. Last question of the second round. Yeah.
For real. The last question.
Welcome to the Midwest like, Sense Trivia
Podcast. When she was like,
half of your trivia host, Elise Marr. Here is some other fucking loser who gives a shit. I'm running things.
When she said I close out the second round, in my mind, I was like, that's okay. We can fix this. I'll just recut that last segment. We'll get into it. And then she said the answer, and I was like, all right.
And everything is just out the window.
It's settled. Yep, that's fine, though.
Here we go.
Very good, though, Elise.
I'm sorry.
No. Never apologize.
On September 13th, 1812, the Great Fire of what city began, burning for 5 days, destroying 75%.
Chicago. San Francisco. Sorry.
It's not a U.S. city.
Oh, shit.
Destroying 75% of the city and killing 12,000 people. Can we hear it again? One more time. Yeah. On September 13th, 1812.
Never forget. September 13th.
The Great Fire of what city began, burning for 5 days, destroying 75% of the city and killing 12,000 people?
I want to say Paris.
Paris is burning. That is a... that's a documentary that the show... what's his name is based on? What's the name of that show? It's a drag show. Pose.
Oh.
Yeah. Paris is Burning. I believe that's the original documentary that's based on.
The documentary
on.
That, yeah, that that's about, we've referenced it here mm-hmm. on yep. this very the podcast.
Balls. Not Mick Fleetwood's dangly balls, but the other kind of balls that they held in, or they held in New York.
Yep.
Drag performance balls.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. And the question, you did not indicate in the question that it was not an American city. So
I know, I'm yeah. giving
which
you that
which just makes
after.
It very, yeah. very hard. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But
because
well worded.
Yep. You first go to American cities because we are American.
And I didn't even take a second to think. I just was yeah. trying to throw a wrench in her
And gear. I mean, back then, every city burned down at least once.
Yeah, there's some stupid-ass like horse. All sorts of...
The firefighters, because firefighting was privatized... would engage in fist fights and try to bid out for putting out fires. So the building would be burning and they would be negotiating the price for
engage
putting it out.
Fist well, fights like yep. the brothers Allison and Carl
exactly.
Yarbrough.
You got two or three, you know, firefighting squads coming out and they're all, you know, trying to feed their families.
And imagine yeah. a future where the firefighters actually start the fires and the fires are books.
Oh, man.
Do you dare think
don't,
of a
don't
future?
Give any listening conspiracy theorists any ideas.
I'm going to go with Paris. I mean, yeah. it's the only guess I've really got. I mean, I'm sure there's many cities.
But I like it.
We're going to go with Paris.
No.
Okay.
It was Moscow.
Mm. Fuck Moscow. I'm just kidding.
And I wrote that because on the day that I did trivia for you, I looked up like on this day stuff, and that was the day that it stopped burning was September 18th. And so then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
In 1812.
Moscow's been through some shit. Also, as previously mentioned, worst traffic. I don't know if there's any correlation between the two.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So now
in the world, not in the United States.
Yeah, in the world. So now is yeah.
That would be a different
so now is when we take another break.
Boston, Beantown. Yes.
Boston. We come back with the last questions.
Okay, so we got a little rate my question, but we just wanted to clarify. Who is it that did the Crying Game song?
It was originally written by Dave Barry in 1964, but it was covered in the song. Or it was covered in the movie Crying Game
yeah.
by Boy George, mm-hmm. produced by the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
I didn't know it was him, but... there you go.
Yeah, we were just talking about how it's genre is thriller. And I know that it's definitely perceived as a transphobic movie. I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. but I get the idea from the trailer, you know, that
I saw it
you know,
a long time
yeah,
ago.
It's like, this, you know, trans people are deceitful and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, that's kind of the vibe of it.
I mean, it's been only recently that movies with trans people have stopped making them seem
gimmicky
yeah.
and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's been very recent, I feel like. So.
It's still happening right now. I think there's a long, long way to go. But yeah, also Ace Ventura, you know, also has some moments that are, you know, have not aged well, mm-hmm. we can say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that song, The Crying Game by Boy George, produced by the Pet Shop Boys. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Cool. So, all right, we've got a rate my question.
Rate my question.
Okay. So we've got a few here from.
By the way, I did my Ray Romano last night. I took it out
on the road.
Took it for a ride.
Nice.
And because I was playing poker with Sonny Romano,
mm-hmm.
and so I busted out my Ray Romano. And
is he related?
Some people seem to think it was pretty good.
Hey, Sonny, my fifth son. Come here, number five.
Well, his fourth son.
Well, oh yeah, he's got three.
Child.
Yeah,
my daughter's a son. My daughter.
You got a very,
there you go.
Very
that's
angry
good.
New York.
Yep.
There.
Yep. All right. So we have a few rate my questions here from Andrew. We're gonna go with the Disney one because I know we got a lot of Disney fans that listen. Okay. We're here in Florida. One of Walt Disney's nine old men, which Imagineer and animator has a window in Disneyland that reads Far East Imports Exotic Art? Hint: his wife was also an Imagineer, and she created the costumes for It's a Small World.
I'm going to need that one more time.
One of Walt Disney's nine old men. So these are like the original nine that started the company with him. Which Imagineer and animator has a window in Disneyland that reads Far East Imports Exotic Art? And the hint is his wife was also an Imagineer and she created the costumes for It's a Small World.
I can't even name one old man.
I can name one.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
I can name one.
Yeah. What's his name, Mark?
His name is Mark Davis.
His name is Mark Davis. That's right.
The only reason I know that one is because his name is fucking M-A-R-C D-A-V-I-S, just like me.
Oh.
And it's the reason that if you try and Google me, mm-hmm. you will not find much about me, thank Christ.
You will find Walt Disney's master of illusions.
And he is the guy who invented Maleficent and a couple of other people. Mm-hmm.
He worked on the Haunted House attraction.
Yeah.
Which is where that Master of Illusions, there's the really funny clip that I want to sample for something that says, and this is Mark Davis, our Master of Illusions.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's why I thought we could ask this one, because we at least know one of them. It might be Mark Davis.
Yeah.
And I think I know another one, if I remember correctly, and he's got a very unique name, which I believe is Ub Iwerks, like U-B-I-W-E-R-K-S. And I just remember that name. It's such a unique name. You know? It could be him. I know. And I know he was one of these original nine, and he had his hand in a lot of different movies and parts of the park and stuff like that. Rides, stuff like that.
So that would be a good mm-hmm. one to choose.
Yeah. I almost lean more towards that than Mark Davis. But I wonder if Andrew is just trying to point out this coincidence here.
Oh, you know, that could be name. It, too, yeah.
So I'm comfortable with either of those answers, I think.
I want to
Mark,
go,
are you looking it up?
I am.
I want to go with Oob.
I hope that's his name.
I'm not seeing an Oob, no. No. There's Les Clark, Mark Davis, Ollie Johnston, Milt Call, Ward Kimball, Eric Larson. Isn't that the name of...
Different Eric Larson.
But isn't that the name of Magneto?
Eric Lesnar.
Lesnar.
Yeah, Eric Larson is a comic book artist that created the Savage Dragon.
John Lounsbery, Wolfgang Reitherman, and Frank Thomas, which is also the name of a baseball player.
Hmm.
I
Ub Iwerks, a side note, designed Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and Mickey Mouse.
Mark Davis started in Snow White. He developed an animated characters of Bambi and Thumper, Tinkerbell, Maleficent, Aurora, Cruella de Vil.
So did he put the answer in there?
No.
He did.
Oh, he did.
I don't know why I didn't look until.
What is the answer?
I'm guessing it's either Frank Thomas or Ollie Johnston.
He has all of the answers down there, so I didn't even. Okay. I don't know if I want to open the other ones.
Okay.
Nine Old Men, Far East Imports is what I'm going to search here.
And she's bored.
I'm tired.
The side you don't see, folks. The long, grueling task of recording an episode. The window is dedicated to Mark and Alice Davis.
Beautiful. I wonder if that was on purpose.
Yeah. Probably.
So I don't think we ever formalized our final guess, but
Mark Davis. My final guess is Mark Davis.
Yeah, my guess was me.
Great. Yep, it was not Oob, though he was important. Apparently, not part of the Nine Old Men, though. That must be a different distinction.
Yeah.
So what's he, the oldest man, the eternal Oob Iwerks?
I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know if his name is Oob or Ub, but I'm really glad that that's his name and it wasn't like a Baba Booey situation. You remember Gary on Howard Stern, he got the name Baba Louie wrong. And so they were like, oh, what'd you say his name was? He said, it's Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
And the rest is history. Otherwise, my name would have been Ug. Like
that
on,
shit used
Ug
to make
Lee.
Me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
When they would keep hitting the Baba Booey button. Mm-hmm. So it would be like Baba, 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 know, Baba Booey.
Do you know the name of the guy who hits that button? Do you remember his name? On the
Artie
Howard Stern show? No, he was not the button hitter.
I don't know.
This guy was with Howard since like the beginning, basically. He predates Robin.
No, what was the name?
Fred. Fred is the guy
who remember
responsible
hearing that name,
for the... That's his voice in the show. So anytime... If you listen to that show, anytime that there's like a drop, like Fred is doing that, and he never talks, but he's been doing it since he started doing the Howard Stern show.
That's crazy.
When he was on like local radio, basically. Huh. All right. So, Andrew, great question. Love the no-no flavor to that question.
I love the no-no flavor. As far as a general question, that is a very hard question.
Yeah. That's a Disney trivia question.
I might give it like an A- because of difficulty. I mean, it's... If you don't know those nine people...
For general knowledge purposes, that's super difficult. Yeah. I would be hard-pressed to ask that at a general trivia, not a non-Disney-themed event. But it's really good for a Disney-themed event because it shows you have to have some knowledge of like the original animators, and it's deep knowledge.
Now,
still
if you
a
would
very
have said
hard question.
Mark and Alice Davis were both two of the people that helped build what brand...
Right, yeah, like you could say it in a different way where it would.
Who also shares a name with a popular, the co-host of a popular trivia podcast, Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Yes. That is a hint. Now you're opening it up to the mainstream is what we're saying. Yeah. Forget Disney. No. All right, let's go ahead and continue with our final questions here. Now, is it finally my turn to ask
it is
a question
your turn, Lee.
When I think I should? Okay, here we go. I have a software question for you.
All right.
In the year 1995, what piece of software was installed on more computers than any other?
Oh, AOL? Is that a piece of software?
95 or 95?
Yeah. I got AOL in 1998, maybe.
So we got it in 97.
Okay.
Windows would be a very crazy answer,
but there was Windows 95, so that would make sense, right? Right, there was Windows 95.
Wow, I'm feeling good about Windows or AOL. I think they're both really good answers. Windows is a much more intense, but man, Windows 95.
Yeah,
gosh,
I'd say Windows then.
And I feel like AOL trickled a lot after it.
Yeah. Let's go with Windows.
We're going to say Windows 95.
No, that's incorrect. Let me adjust the difficulty on this question a little bit. What piece of freeware was installed on more computers than any other piece of software in 1995.
Was AOL free?
I guess AOL is technically freeware, but it's not AOL either, because I think they gave those disks out for free and said you could install them, and then you just had to pay the service charge for America Online to use it.
Well, then
but
it's not AOL nothing. Either. I don't know.
Any guesses?
Hamster Dance.
Because that's really what happened is that Windows 95, it was installed on a lot, but because you had to pay for it, it limited the installation, and a piece of freeware that had an open license, you could install it as many times as you wanted without paying for it, dominated it. It is a video game.
A video game.
Oregon Trail?
Mm-mm. I don't think that had an open license, actually.
Math Crunchers.
Nope. A movie has been made of this video game.
Tron.
No.
A movie has been made about this video game that was freeware that in 1995 was put on all these computers.
It takes place on Mars.
Doom?
Yes, Doom is the answer. Installed on more computers in 1995 than even Windows 95 or any other piece of software. Pretty cool.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I think I answered Doom for one of the trivia questions last night and I was wrong. Oh, and it was The Sims, and Dallas said The Sims, and we're like, it's not The Sims.
Yeah, the question was, Will Wright is the creator known for what popular franchise of PC games?
Well, because I was thinking, like, Sim City and stuff was on Nintendo first, but I guess they're two separate things. So,
oh, no, I think it was on computers first, and then they ported it. But you might have experienced it there, you know, on the Nintendo first.
All right, Elise?
Okay. The largest mosque in Africa... The Hassan II overlooks the Atlantic Ocean in what North African city?
On theme for this podcast, the African geography question, which we're famously good at.
North Africa. I immediately think Egypt. I feel like there's a very, very large mosquean...
Gross. Atlantic Ocean, though?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. I'm not sure which side the Atlantic Ocean is. And I'm not sure. I mean, I know there's some water there.
But maybe Morocco? It's
the other side.
Could it be Morocco?
What city?
Yeah, I know. But I don't even know which country first.
Yeah, you have to narrow it down.
And you know, I'm blanking.
Oh, I'm so bad with African everything.
Yep.
North African.
Well, of course, there's Libya. But that's at the tip.
Atlantic Ocean, though. Could it be Tripoli?
The shores of Tripoli.
The shores of Tripoli.
From the halls of Montezuma.
To the shores of Tripoli. You seem very... pleased with yourself. Do you want to say Tripoli?
I want to say Tripoli. We had good luck with the Mark Davis, and maybe Elise is trying the same thing here to bring up a prior answer.
I will say I am bringing this up because I've been here. That might help if you guys know where I've been.
You've been there in real life.
I know you had sex with at least one male prostitute, and you did legal drugs.
I wish I did drugs in the Netherlands, and I didn't. I should have.
But you didn't say anything about the male prostitute, so that definitely happened then.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we playing two truths and a lie? Is that what's
That's now canon. if you want to go with Tripoli, we can go with Tripoli. What is the big city?
Okay, well, but has Elise gone to Tripoli?
I have no idea where Elise has been.
Like before 10 years ago.
I mean, if you were going to go anywhere in Africa, it seems like Egypt would be a fucking place you'd go.
Yeah.
To see the Sphinx. I know it's the Sphinx, but
I like the way you said it. Sphinx. That's cute.
I'm going to sound like a complete idiot here.
What's the capital of Egypt?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you serious?
I could probably come up with it.
What's the big city in fucking Egypt? Why do we not know this? Fucking Egypt. It's a big city in Egypt. What is it? How embarrassing is this?
Doesn't it start with an M?
No. But I'll say, okay, it's not Egypt.
It's not Egypt.
Cairo is the capital of Egypt.
Cairo is the fucking cap. Thank you.
But Egypt is on the east side of North Africa.
Fuck yeah, east side, son. Wu-Tang! Mm-hmm. Fuck
that's
west
what
side.
I will that's say, why Tripoli.
All right, we're going to say
so
Tripoli.
Sweet.
No, it's Casablanca. So that's in Morocco.
When you said Cairo, I was like, I almost said Casablanca as a freaking joke.
Because I went on a cruise that was in Spain. This was recent, and then it went down to Morocco.
I need to know this since you've been in Casablanca.
Yeah.
Did Sam play it again?
I almost went to the Rick's Cafe. They still have that there.
Did Sam play it again though?
I think he's gone, Mark.
I think we lost Sam. Oh yeah,
a long time ago
to the annals of time.
Yep, to time.
Really bad traffic there. But this okay. So I don't really, I'm not a religious person.
So two things you don't like are traffic in Casablanca and the Broadway Palms interpretation of the musical Once.
Yes,
that's what we've learned today.
All right,
but this building is amazing. Like even if you're not religious, like if you go there, you need to see it because it's like incredible. And it's
Casablanca.
It's on the Atlantic Ocean. There were surfers in front of it, and it was just really weird. I don't know. It was just really cool.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple options here,
Mister. I hate options.
I love to give them.
Yep.
Here you have three options.
Okay, I'll play your game, Mark Davis.
Asian drinks, sports and games, American history.
Asian drinks.
Do you agree to this?
Sure. Guest choice.
What drink was originally known in Thailand as Krating Dang? That's K-R-A-T-I-N-G. Second word, D-A-E-N-G. Krating Dang. What drink was originally known in Thailand as Krating Dang?
Had to go Southeast Asian on me.
You know I do it to him. Had to do it to him.
What about Thai iced tea?
I'm sorry, but I had to do it to him.
We're not going to get any ingredients, are we?
No, but it's a drink you guys definitely know.
Is it an alcoholic drink?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Never mind then.
You seemed angry.
No, well, I was like, this is a Mai Tai. But if it's not a non-alcoholic drink, that changes the game entirely.
That's as much as I can help you.
Could it just be Thai iced tea? With the sweetened condensed milk.
What if it's pumpkin spice latte?
Yes.
I mean, it could be. It could be. I was thinking maybe, I guess, because I was thinking with a beverage in mind, I was thinking maybe like Hawaiian punch or something like that. Like it's not even wine, but that's. I think that's just a soda manufacturer's invention concoction. I don't think that has any real. Hey, we've got corn syrup. What can we do with this? That's the origin there.
Yeah, I mean, I can only think of Thai iced tea. Although he used Thailand in the question, so that seems a little obvious, but.
And no year.
Is it a specific drink or just
like a brand or a type of drink? Is that what you're asking?
Right.
Is it a brand name?
How many clues do you guys want here?
Is it a brand name?
How many clues do you want?
Ovaltine.
One more. One more clue.
Yes.
It's a brand name drink. Okay.
Ovaltine. They don't really drink milk, though, out there like that.
Marvel and Sony are going to make a third Spider-Man movie.
What?
The second one, to be honest, was so boring that I still haven't finished it, and I don't care.
It was really good. I liked it a lot.
I disagree, but I'm
still the best Peter Parker.
I have something to admit.
Uh-oh.
I'm tired of comic book movies.
Okay.
I'm tired of them.
Okay.
Stop. Give me a break. Give me 3 months without a new comic book movie, Star Wars movie.
I'm done with Star Wars.
Star Wars is not a comic book movie.
I'm done with Star
Wars. But these franchises, I need a break. I need a break. Stop.
But you have no problem with remakes. Okay.
Yeah, you said you wanted to see a Princess Bride remake.
No, this is
my whole opinion.
Preeting dang.
This is my utilitarian perspective. We live in a world of remakes. If we're going to do it, so be it. Whatever,
so we live in a world of comic book movies. So
I know.
Dang. So be it.
Creating dang.
I really don't expect them to stop, but I'm they just won't. Saying. I can't. I'm done.
Thai iced tea.
Sure.
I mean, it's not a brand name.
The brand name Thai iced tea.
Coca-Cola.
No, Coca-Cola. What? From Thailand? Listen to what you're saying. You're just saying names, brand Let's names of your drinks right now. And you're not sus with me. Sus with me here.
Verbally shaking your shoulders.
We have to sus here. Zima? Something like that. It could be Zima.
Zima's alcohol. He said it wasn't alcoholic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sometimes it's if you feel so penned in when you get so many clues.
What goes along with like Pocky? That's Japanese, but what's the maybe we need to think like world drink. You know what I mean? Like you have to go to World Market in order to buy this drink. You can't just go to the regular grocery store. You have to go to a specialty shop. What about peanut milk? Don't they have that? I remember there's a Thai restaurant I used to go to in Tallahassee that had milk with peanuts in it. But that's not a brand name.
Yeah. Nestle Quick.
No, that's Nestle. That's an American company.
Yeah.
It's got to be something imported, right?
Yeah. Okay.
What if it is, though, Yoohoo?
Yeah.
There's like Orangina or Sun.
Sun Kissed.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of, but there's like an orange juice, like that I remember.
Yeah, the orange.
Sunny Delight.
No. I mean, I don't think you would give us the answer.
Pog.
But
what about Pog?
I didn't know that was a drink.
Oh, it's pineapple or passion fruit, orange, guava. It's Hawaiian, so no.
Okay.
He knows from Hawaii. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We're getting close,
Unless
though.
Yeah.
Fruitopia.
Surge. That's,
yeah, those are all American.
Yeah, those are all by Coca-Cola, I believe.
Yep.
This drink originated in Thailand. I mean, it could be remarketed.
So
it might be owned by another company.
It could be an American brand. Like it could be sold under an American brand.
Yeah, yeah. It was originally, I mean, someone may have just had it and been like, ooh, this.
Oh man. What about Sobe?
Vitamin water.
50 Cent?
50 Cent was out there in time.
This is pretty good. Can we get a pipeline going?
I don't know.
I'm going to sell these Thai drinks to the Americans. Be richer than ever.
Oh, coconut water.
That's not a brand name, though. But
isn't there a brand name called coconut water?
I don't know.
Like, I can see it.
For some reason, that stuff just tastes terrible to me.
It tastes like vomit.
I think it's a genetic thing, though. I think
some
there's
people
some
really
genetic
like
marker that, like, because I'll be like with a group of friends drinking coconut water, and they're all having the time of their lives drinking coconut water. No, so refreshing. Like, and I literally feel like my throat is closing up while I'm drinking.
Yeah, no, it's disgusting. It's horrible. I think it's coconut water, because, you know, Thailand, coconut water.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay,
so
let's go with coconut water.
If you're familiar with the language of the people of Thailand, you would know that dang is red, and a krating is a large bison. The
red
drink
Bull.
Is Red Bull.
That's fucking right.
Oh.
1987, an Austrian company started making their own version of krating dang. and called it Red Bull.
I knew that.
Wow.
Because there was, trivia, they asked where it started.
Don't tell me this, Elise. Don't tell me this.
I had all of the tools to get this answer.
Oh, my God.
But I did not utilize them.
Whose trivia was it where they asked where it was from and it was like a multiple choice question? And it was like Austria, and then Thailand was the answer.
A garbage trivia.
God damn it.
Can you give me a round of applause on that keyboard? Does it still work? And the answer is no.
Let's just clap.
Yeah, there you go. Good job. Woo. All right. And maybe you can put that in post. All right.
Well, we've gone so long that my phone died, and I don't have the script handy. So
really?
Yeah. We can try to do this from memory, basically.
Yeah, let's just do what we can.
I think I can pull it up here. Hold on.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for another installment. What happened?
I can look up at least the names of the Patreon supporters.
Of No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you very much. Now we got boops. Now we've got sounds going. That's Lee and I'm Mark, and what a great episode this has been. Thank you to all the people who listen to us. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this.
Hold
on.
Oh, you got the Patreon.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Mark Davis. You can catch me Wednesday nights at Nice Guys Pints and Pies, 9 p.m. to 10:30. That's Lee Brettschneider over there. You can catch him hosting No Nonsense Trivia Live on Mondays at Palace Pub and Wine Bar from 7 until 8:30 on Mondays. On Tuesdays, you can catch him at Gather from 7 to 9:30. On Thursdays, you can catch him at the wonderful and inimitable. Yeah, that's right, right?
Imitable.
Non-imitatable. Number 3. Craft Brews and Beer Bar. And Elise, you can catch her somewhere where we can't be or someone else can't be, filling in like the expert that she is.
I won't say where I might be. I think I know where I'm going to be, but I don't want to say it if it's not going to happen. So,
thank you very much to Elise for joining us. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge on your favorite podcast platform. We've got what? Let's go back in time. We've got Stitcher that we use. What else do we use, Lee? We've got
Spotify. Google Podcast.
I listen to it on Stitcher. I like it a lot. There's also
Overcast.
Podbean.
Pocket Cast. Tune In.
And what's the one that the Cubans use?
Castro.
That's it.
We're also on iHeartRadio.
Ooh.
Yeah.
iHeartRadio. You can support this podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, because the one I have here is ancient. But you can also just go to
thenono.com.
KNOWNO.com.
Please do. I just installed Google Analytics so I can see all the data.
Yes, and listen there. And clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. As Lee mentioned before, we got over 10 hours of archived audio footage on there for you to listen to if you get sick of all this stuff. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com if you want to send a no note or a miscorrection or anything else, or just say hello. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Trivia at No Non Trivia. Yes, I got it right.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
At No Not Trivia. On Trivia.
On Trivia.
At No Not Trivia. Trivia.
And also, don't forget to join that Facebook group if you have Facebook.
And thanks again, Katie and Gil and everybody, for your sweet messages on there.
Oh, yes. And also, the Patreon people.
I can read them?
Yay. Read them.
Okay. Thank you, Quiz Daddies Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim, Pat's Garden Service, Team Captains, Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. Proverbial Light Keepers, Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Sean, Lucas, Max, and Gil.
It's Gil!
And Rumpel Snailskins Manu, Jeff, Eric, Steven, Efren, Mike J, and Mike C.
We should have whoever the guest is read those every time. That's so wonderful.
Love it. Yeah. Thanks, Elise. Good
and
idea.
Lee is just riding this wave of not having to do all this shit at the end. You can just
what
tell.
What a relief.
He is seriously on fucking cloud nine. Also, finally, please, guys, I'm not fucking around anymore. Leave us a fucking review on Apple Podcasts.
Our reviews please. Went down. They went down.
And I
not
feel like the love
ranking.
Has gone up,
mm-hmm.
but the reviews have gone down.
Yes.
And I don't understand.
If you listen on a Android phone, find a friend that has an iPhone and use their account to review us 5 stars if you so desire.
Do something.
Yeah.
Or at least tell some people to listen to us. It's the least you can do. But if you're going to review us, please, 5 stars only. We love and appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. And Lee, you can take it from here.
All right. Elise, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to your new trivia soon. All right, folks, that's it. Have a great week.